From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The organization opposing the recall campaign against Governor Mike Dunleavy has told its lawyers to withdraw its appeal of the recall. Stand Tall with Mike said in a statement that the public is better served by devoting resources to educating the public why this recall is unjustified and a waste of public resources. The group also said it's clear the Alaska Supreme Court is determined to let the recall effort go forward. Stand Tall with Mike is concerned about Chief Justice Joel Bolger's ability to be impartial in the case. The group says the justice directly participated in the events that gave rise to one of the recall charges. A clerk for the court said she told lawyers in a conference call on Friday that she wasn't aware that Bolger would recuse himself, and that if anyone had a concern, they should file a motion. Dunleavy responded to Stand Tall with Mike's announcement while talking with Alaska Public Media's Lori Townsend on Talk of Alaska today. He said he recently heard rumblings about the decision.
The belief was that it was pointless to continue with the legal approach to this. And
would be the recourse? I mean, what would they propose to do if you can't go to the courts?
That the courts are going to put this on the ballot, and then we have a campaign.
Recall Dunleavy campaign manager Claire Pywell says Stand Tall with Mike's statement was a disappointing attack on the Supreme Court.
And it shows they haven't learned their lesson. They still are showing this lack of respect for other branches of government, and they're continuing to attack the judicial branch.
Another of the four grounds for recall alleges that Dunleavy violated the separation of powers between the executive and judicial branches by saying that he was vetoing court funding because of court rulings upholding Medicaid funding of abortions. A spokesperson for the Department of Law said the state will continue its appeal, seeking to block the recall from moving forward. It believes the division's decision and an opinion by the state's attorney general were correct and that the issues need to be addressed by the Supreme Court. Supreme Court ruled last week that the recall campaign can start gathering signatures. It will require more than 71,000 to put the recall on the ballot. U.S. Senator Lisa Murkowski says many of President Donald Trump's policies have been good and benefited Alaska, but she did not say today whether she would support his reelection bid. Murkowski told reporters in Juneau today she planned to focus on issues important to the state, not on what's coming up in November. In 2016, the Republican senator said Trump had forfeited the right to be the party's nominee after a 2005 video surfaced of him making lewd comments about women. Since his election, the two have been on the same side of a number of issues, but Murkowski says she hasn't hesitated to call him out when she thinks he's wrong. Pebble Partnership leaned on Governor Mike Dunleavy for help last summer, pleading that the survival of their long-proposed gold mine was at risk, and the governor took up the cause. That's one of the episodes revealed in emails Pebble sent to the governor's office, obtained through a public records request. The documents also show that a letter from mine opponents made a big impression on a potential Pebble investor. Alaska Public Media's Liz Ruskin has this peek behind the scenes of one of Alaska's most controversial projects.
Publicly, Pebble CEO Tom Collier always radiates confidence about the proposed mine and about the viability of the company, even when partner after partner has backed out. At a congressional hearing last year, Collier scoffed at the notion his project isn't financially sound.
So if you believe it's not financially viable, let's all go home. But the project is financially viable. We've invested almost $1 billion in this project to get it where it is now. And we're going to be able to build it, and it's going to make money as we go forward.
But in a July 17 email to the governor's office, Collier struck a less confident note. Before we get to that, here's a quick status report. Pebble has applied for a federal wetlands permit, and a ruling is expected this fall. If the permit is granted, Pebble would need state permits. And it's clear from its financial reports, Pebble is going to need a lot more money to keep going. Back in July, Pebble was pinning its hopes on a Canadian firm called Wheaton Precious Metals for a substantial investment. Wheaton executives would visit Alaska later that month, and Collier wanted to show them his project had the governor's support. The Pebble CEO planned a dinner for the potential investors at his Anchorage home, prepared by a private chef. A senior advisor to Dunleavy was coming, but Collier felt it wasn't enough. Collier emailed Dunleavy advisor Brett Huber, pleading for the governor to change his out-of-state travel plans. The governor had to meet the Wheaton delegation, Collier wrote. A phone call wouldn't do it. I would not make this request unless I thought it was absolutely critically essential, Collier said in his July 17 email. This currently is our best option for survival.
It was really interesting to see him admit it.
Taryn Kiko-Heimer is an attorney with the Natural Resources Defense Council, one of the groups fighting the Pebble Mine. She saw a copy of the Pebble emails late last year. CNN obtained them from the governor's office first, and the network let her read them. Heimer was struck by Pebble's tone, that its usual swagger was gone.
Seeing that come through differently, secretly to the governor, really validated what we see when they provide quarterly statements of the financials. What's really evident is that they desperately need money.
Pebble declined an interview request for this story. Spokesman Mike Heatwall says the company is on firmer financial footing than it was in July after raising $20 million by selling stock. Heimer says she was amazed to see how Pebble leaned on the governor for help attracting investment dollars from Wheaton.
Asking the governor to shill for them, right? You know, he's giving... It's extraordinary. The governor is giving a private investor a sales pitch on behalf of a foreign mining corporation.
The governor's office also declined an interview request, and it refused to say whether Dunleavy complied with Pebble's request to meet the Wheaton team. But he did write a letter to Wheaton encouraging the company to invest, and the emails reveal the letter was written almost entirely by Pebble. The records from the governor's office also show what happened right after the Wheaton team visited Alaska. Heimer's group and other mine opponents wrote Wheaton a 12-page letter, basically warning that if you invest in Pebble, you'll face never-ending opposition. The message landed like a bomb. Within minutes of receiving it, Wheaton CEO Randy Smallwood sent a terse email to the chief executive of Pebble's parent company. Wow. Things don't stay very secret around our visit, Smallwood wrote. Pretty sure a similar package will have been delivered to our directors. Not good. Actually, Heimer says, mine opponents got lucky. They'd heard a mining investment company might be interested in Pebble, so they sent letters to about half a dozen firms, including Wheaton.
We papered a bunch of them. I never heard back from anybody.
And she says she didn't send the letter to Wheaton's board of directors, as Smallwood feared. But now Heimer says she knows what to do if she sends a similar letter in the future.
Hearing what Mr. Smallwood said about that, I will absolutely be sending it to every single senior executive and board director.
Wheaton has not invested in Pebble, and the company isn't saying if it's still considering it. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
Hundreds gathered to celebrate one of Alaska's civil rights icons, whose image will soon appear on a U.S. gold dollar. Judo Empire reported the Alaska Native Brotherhood and Alaska Native Sisterhood sponsored the event in Juneau to honor Elizabeth Paratrovich. U.S. Mint announced in October that the Tlingit Nation member will become the first Alaska Native to appear on U.S. currency. The event at the Juneau, Tlingit, and Haida Community Council was held to mark the 75th anniversary of a famed speech by Paratrovich before the Territorial Legislature of Alaska calling for Native equal rights. Juneau's Caravan has a new name, but the service is still the same. Five new vans are in the city and borough of Juneau's paratransit service, now called Capital Access. It's a complement to Capital Transit's regular buses, which can also accommodate people with disabilities, but they only operate along fixed routes in Juneau. Capital Access is operated under a contract with Catholic Community Service, which provides the drivers. The city is required to operate a paratransit service in order to get federal highway funds for its regular bus service. Acting Public Works Director Robert Barr says the rebranding is to make it clear that it's a city operation. Figures from January show more than 230 people use the service for a total of almost 2,400 rides.
Like anything that you or I would need to transport ourselves around town for, it's the same sort of thing that people are using the paratransit service for. Medical appointments are certainly a big one, but also getting back and forth to grocery stores or other sorts of appointments.
The service is free and available to anyone who cannot get to a regular bus stop because of a disability. Barr says they plan on easing the application process so that any healthcare provider can fill out an application form. As part of the rebranding, Capital Access also has a new phone number. It's toll-free, 844-4-AK-CESS. Alaska Native Villages and other tribal entities in the state are receiving more than $98 million in federal grants for housing improvement projects. U.S. Housing and Urban Development Department officials say the $98.6 million announced today is being distributed among 240 Alaska tribes and villages. Officials say the money is part of $655 million in Indian housing block funds being distributed to tribes and their housing in 38 states. Alaska has approved a regulation change establishing a personal use salmon dip net fishery on a portion of the Susitna River. Anchorage Daily News reported the Alaska Board of Fisheries voted to create the fishery that will be available on Wednesdays and Saturdays between July 10th and July 31st. The Susitna system empties into Cook Inlet and is home to all five species of Pacific salmon. Dip netters will be able to harvest up to 25 salmon in the new fishery in South Central Alaska, though Chinook salmon will be off limits. And finally, let's take a look at the National Weather Service forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Tonight, rain and snow, little or no snow accumulation, lows in the mid-30s, east winds to 25 miles per hour. In downtown Juneau and Douglas, rain, Mendenhall Valley, east winds to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, rain and snow accumulation around 1 inch, highs in the mid-30s. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Tuesday, February 18th, 2020. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.